Oho tijakshatriyanam manabangam amrishyatam balopi ayam hridadhate yat yat samatur asad vachaha aho tija kshatriyanam manabangam amrishyatam balopyayam hridadhate yat samatur asad vachaha aho.
How surprising it is.
Tejaha, power. Kshatriyanam,
of the Kshatriyas.
Manabhangam,
hurting the prestige.
Amrishyatam,
unable to tolerate.
Balaha,
only a child.
Api,
although.
Ayam,
this.
Hridda,
at heart.
Dhate,
has taken.
Yat,
that which.
Samatuho,
of the stepmother.
Asat,
unpalatable.
Vachaha,
words. Translation, how wonderful are the powerful Kshatriyas. They cannot tolerate even a slight infringement upon their prestige. Just imagine, this boy is only a small child, yet harsh words from his stepmother proved unbearable to him. This is Narada Muni speaking to Dhruva, or about Dhruva. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The qualifications of the Kshatriyas are described in Bhagavad Gita. Can you get Bhagavad Gita? Two important qualifications are to have a sense of prestige and not to flee from battle. It appears that the Kshatriya blood within the body of Dhruva Maharaj was naturally very active. If the Brahminical, Kshatriya, or Vaishya culture is maintained in a family, naturally, the sons and grandsons inherit the spirit of the particular caste. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, the sangskara, or the reformatory system, is maintained very rigidly. If one fails to observe the reformatory measures current in the family, one is immediately degraded to a lower standard of life. Aho teja chatriyanam mana bhangam amrishyatam balo pyayam hridadate yat samatur asadvachaha. How wonderful are the powerful Kshatriyas. They cannot tolerate even a slight infringement upon their prestige. Just imagine, the boy is only a small child, yet harsh words from his stepmother proved unbearable to him. It's almost like Narada is honoring the little tantrum this boy is throwing. Or at least he's remarking about at least the nature of the Kshatriya spirit. So, Balopi, although he's a small boy, Bala, like Bala Gopala, when Krishna's small child, deity form is Bal Gopal. So, Dhruva is just not only he's a boy, he's very young of age, but his spirit is strong as a Kshatriya. It's not just a small boy having a tantrum. This is a Kshatriya spirit being exhibited through the body of a small child instead of through an adult. When, as a king later, Dhruva demonstrated his Kshatriya spirit also, as kings will do. So there's three parts to the purport. One is the spirit of a Kshatriya. Prabhupada refers to the Bhagavad Gita verse. There's a section in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita where Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are identified by their quality. And qualities arise from nature, or the Sanskrit term is swabhava, swabhavajam. Kshatriya karma swabhavajam, Brahma karma swabhavajam. Jam, ja means to take birth, or it arises from their swabhava. The qualities arise from swabhava, one's nature. And the transcendental nature is something else altogether. Our transcendental nature is simply to serve Krishna. And the conditioned nature is in contact with the modes of nature, then there's a certain swabhava, and there's a certain then set of characteristics. So characteristics of a Kshatriya. Sauryam, heroism. Teja, power. Dhriti, determination. Daksham, Prabhupada has translated it as resourcefulness. Daksha means expert. But to do what a Kshatriya has to do, they have to be resourceful, not just, you know, a small set of options, and if those small set of options are exhausted, they're finished. But very resourceful, whatever facility, somehow the protecting Kshatriya, protecting from harm, must take place by some means. Very resourceful. Then that's the first line. Then yudhe chapi apalayanam. They'll never run from or flee from battle. So they're competitive. And part of Kshatriya training is various forms of competitive activity. So a challenge is given, and a Kshatriya cannot, by his nature, and by codes also, cannot decline a challenge. Something like that was going on when Yudhisthira was challenged to competition with dice. It's his code. He doesn't, you know, it's challenge in competition. So it's the nature of a kshatriya, and it's the duty of a kshatriya to not flee from some opportunity. Just as Krishna is arguing to Arjuna, great happiness is there when into a kshatriya a challenge comes unsought. It just comes to your door, knocks on your door. I'd like to challenge you, sir. Oh, very good. It's not taken as an insult, it's taken as joy. Oh, this is very good. And if there isn't somebody to have combat with, a king will sometimes keep a very qualified fighter, wrestler, whatever, and, you know, spar with that person because it's, you know, he likes. He doesn't want a wimp. He wants somebody who can really challenge his strength. So that's kshatriya spirit. Yudhe. Yudha means combat or battle, fighting. And they'll never flee from some opportunity. So that part, that component of Dhruva's kshatriya spirit was aggravated when his stepmother said, not only said, she pushed him off his father's lap. Get down. You will not be able to sit on your father's lap unless you're born of my womb, but good luck. You can die now and be born again from my womb, and then you can sit on your father's lap. Ooh. He didn't cry just because he was insulted. It was his kshatriya spirit. I mean, just because he was denied something that he wanted to do. Because his kshatriya spirit. And this sense of prestige, there's not exactly an equivalent. Close to it is Saurya, heroism. Hero, but it's different. Heroism is something needs to be done, so somehow or another I will see that it gets done. He draws upon his resourcefulness, but this is, the Sanskrit is mana bhangam. Bhangam means breaking or hurting here. This is how he's challenged, or excuse me, how he's translated it. And mana, well, man means mind, but we have this phrase mana means respect, like amanina mana dana. Mana dana, dana means to give. Mana dana is to give respect. And amanina, one who is free from false prestige, thinking of oneself in a very high way, lofty, having a sense of false prestige, free from false prestige. So, interesting. A kshatriya has this mana. It's part of his spirit. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. Two important qualifications. It's not a disqualification. Two important qualifications are to have a sense of prestige. And if someone confronts it, you don't flee from battle. So it doesn't sound very nice. It sounds like, okay, there's this guy with false prestige, and there's this guy with false prestige. and something happens, and you know, one feels that their false prestige is insulted, and so they go to battle until the other guy's dead. Doesn't seem very noble. Seems pretty, you know, not of a high nature. However, the good news is, and not only that, they have teja, they have great strength, and they're great resourcefulness. It's like, you know, fight to the finish. But they'll only fight on the basis of religious principle. Dharma yudha, religious battle, because that was the language that Krishna was using in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. This is religious battle. It's not just battle. It's religious. There's a religious principle at stake. So, in this case, Dhruva didn't do battle with his stepmother or with his father, but he was exhibiting the spirit of a kshatriya. Unguided spirit, kshatriya spirit. So he's just a little boy. The story, very nice. He's just a little boy. So he goes to his mother. What do I do? I want a kingdom. I don't want just my father's kingdom. I want a kingdom better than my father. Better than his father. What do I do? I can't help you. If something like that only Lord Vishnu could make. Very good. How do I find Lord Vishnu? So, he's a little boy. But he has kshatriya spirit. And that's what's driving him. And we're going to hear the advice that Narada gives is brahminical. And his reply is, I'm not brahminical. It's good advice. I recognize it. It's good advice. I can't follow it. I've got kshatriya spirit. So he has kshatriya spirit. And Narada is marveling. Aho! Sometimes this is translated as, oh. Here it's, how surprising it is. Like wow. Oh, just see. Such a small boy. Balo. Pyanam hrida date. His heart has been date, has been taken away by these words, vacha, and they're asat vacha. They're false. They're unpalatable. It's just words. We have this little rhyme in America: sticks and stones. You heard this one before? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Right, Jitendra? Many times. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. So someone can say something cruel, harsh, mean, vicious, wicked, vile. Can't hurt me. Unless you're a kshatriya. Because what got hurt was one's mana, one's sense of prestige, honor, majesty. Of course, it's false. It's not who we are. All those things are illusory. But a kshatriya has it. He has that spirit. So Narada's marveling. Even a small boy because he's from a Kshatriya family. And then the next part of Prabhupada's purport is, how does one receive that Kshatriya spirit? And he gives two means. One is by culture, by association. If the Brahminical, Kshatriya, and Vaishya culture is maintained in a family, naturally the sons and grandsons inherit the spirit of a particular class. So it's just by association. But then there's a problem. In Kali Yuga especially, there's a problem. There's so many problems. The problem is that the Vedic system upholds not just by birth, but by samskar. And when samskaras are performed, it imparts something. It imparts an impression, and it elevates to at least a religious-based standard. You take away the religious base of standard, and you have animal life. Everything becomes degraded, lower than Shudra. But so I had this discussion once with a South Indian Brahmin who had, he wasn't exactly arguing, but he was questioning, how is it that in ISKCON you have a system where persons who are differently born become Brahmin? Because how can one become a Brahmin unless one is born a Brahmin? Because that was his training. How is it one can be Brahmin other than being born a Brahmin? Well, in the dialogue, I just turned it around the other way and said, actually, one who's born Brahmin, according to scripture, in this age of Kali, is born lower than Shudra. He said, how is that? I said, because as a Brahmana, you know this, you're to perform samskaras. He said, yes. And the samskaras qualify you as a Brahmana. Yes. So what happens when the first samskara is not observed? Garbhadan samskara. And without Garbhadan samskara, how can one be a Brahmana? He thought about it and said, you're right. On that base, and then ask yourself, who follows Garbhadan samskara? He said, nobody does. Right away, without hesitation. Nobody does. So what's the question of Brahmin by birth? You can say, as Prabhupada uses the phrase, Brahma Bandhu, a friend of a Brahmin. That's nice. Friend of a Brahmin. But without proper samskara, if someone didn't undergo upanayana or all of the procedures of a Brahmana, then how can one be a Brahmana just by birth? And it's not just in Vedic tradition, Christian tradition has it in some form or another, baptism and confirmation, and in bar mitzvah in the Jewish tradition, and I'm sure there's something Islamic tradition. It's purificatory process helps establish one in at least religious standing. It's there for a reason. It looks like ritual. Pretty much it is. Left just a ritual. But when substance is there, it makes one qualified. And then the other part is in the association of the Kshatriya family, the royal family, the culture of how to do combat, how to exercise strength according to religious principle, just like Dronacharya taught Dhanurved to the Pandavas and the Kauravas, the sons of the Kuru dynasty, because that's part of a Kshatriya's training. Not everybody requires that, but those that are Kshatriyas require that. They have to know the skill of how to, but they also have to know the skill of when not to. That's part of the samskara. That strength of the Vedic culture is found in other traditions. Just, I've never done this, but persons that take martial arts, one of the first like three or four lessons they learn is morality, codes of ethics, you know, yama and niyama, the do's and the don'ts, the standards of how to live an upstanding, virtuous, righteous life, how to not misuse this thing that they're going to teach. Because you can hurt people. And it's not meant for hurting people, it's meant for self-defense. Or for protecting others, but not meant for hurting people. Of course, you skip right over that quickly and go on to how you can hurt people. And so on. So, that check is part of the qualification of a Kshatriya. A Brahmana has similar checks. Just listening recently, the lecture Prabhupada was speaking about Rupa Goswami's signing this, you know, someone debating came to Vrindavan, I'm a great scholar, let's have a debate. And Rupa Goswami said, oh, you're so much more scholarly than me, let us not debate, I'll just sign a paper that said you defeated me. And Prabhupada's point was that there's a truly learned person will not waste his time in useless debate. When there's someone that's serious and they wish to have some dialogue, they'll be very happy. It's like Sataputta. For the service to Srila Prabhupada, for the Bhaktivedanta Institute, furthering the Bhaktivedanta Institute's message, for a period of time would regularly travel and visit different universities and other educational institutions for giving the BI teaching. And then he stopped doing it because I was asking him, if we booked programs for you, would you come? And he said, no. I said, why not? He said, the way that it works at university programs is, with something like what I'm doing at least, there's an assembly, and out of the assembly there's an official heckler. He may not be elected by all of them, he's kind of self-appointed heckler, and the self-appointed heckler knows nothing about the subject matter, but thinks that he knows everything about, or at least something about everything, and baselessly just attacks, and then people go, yay, and they, you know, then it becomes this battle between a heckler that doesn't really have... He said, however, anybody that reads my material and wants to ask questions about the material, I'll come and just have a one-on-one with that person or however many persons. But, you know, official heckler programs, I don't really require them. Anyway, back to a Kshatriya spirit. They have this mana. Now, how does that work if you're a Vaishnav Kshatriya? I was thinking about that when reading this. How does it work? You're supposed to be, it's a qualification to be a Kshatriya. You have a sense of prestige. And now you're a Vaishnava Kshatriya. And you're supposed to be free from false prestige. So that the issue here is then false prestige. What's prestige? And what's false prestige? When it's ego-based, like me, that's to be given up. But when it's Krishna and principle of religion, one should be like fire if you're a Kshatriya. And that's essentially what Krishna was doing with Arjuna, separating out his amanina with mana. Krishna's honor, or the desire of Krishna, exactly Krishna's honor. When Krishna was being insulted by Shishupal in the Rajasuya, imagine how difficult it was for real Kshatriyas, who are pure devotees, to withstand that. Bhima was ready to finish him. And Krishna lifted his hand and said, no, let him go. But after 100 times, Krishna didn't let him go. But when Krishna did like that, it wasn't out of a spirit of his prestige had been hurt. But with the Kshatriya, they're in the modes of nature. And so their prestige has been hurt, and they, with great teja, with great strength, they fight. So the instruction that Prabhupada is giving us, we're not Kshatriyas, and we're not Dhruva Maharaj, but the emphasis is going to the importance of sangskaras, reformatory systems. So that we don't become degraded, and in turn the children that come from our devotee families don't become degraded, although we're devotees. We can try to be nice devotees, but those observances should also be upheld. At least, you know, that training is there for us within the Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho teja chatriyana mana bhangam amrishyatam. Mana bhangam amrishyatam. They're unable to tolerate infringement on their prestige. Balopi ayam ridadate yat samatur asadvacha. Just from words of his stepmother, cannot tolerate it. He has to do something. He doesn't even know what to do, but he has to do something. His mother said, Lord Vishnu can help. Help me find Lord Vishnu. Very determined. Very determined. And Narada shows compassion. Okay, so any discussion on the verse? Jitendra, you got something?
Sometimes I read these sayings. I see in one that was says, sometimes it is easier to fight for one's principles than to live up to them. And then I was thinking of this television program in relation to what you were talking about. Do you remember the Kung Fu program?
He was nothing about it.
It was in the early 70s. He was like the Kshatriya, but he was always defending the, you know, like a kind of a Robin Hood type of fellow, you know.
Robin Hood, okay.
But he was Kung Fu. I mean, it was a very popular program, but I guess you were a devotee at that time. And,
probably.
Yeah, but it was, maybe somebody else remembers Kung Fu, but David Carradine, the guy that played it, he, in real life, he was kind of, you know, intoxicated, and then he committed suicide just maybe, I think, last year or the year before or something. So people thought that was kind of, out of character and things like that.
Let's get to the point, huh?
Yeah, well, I just thought I'd share a few little things that are thought-provoking, you know.
Okay.
So in relation to what you were saying.
So it's still modern. It's still in modern times, not only in ancient. Yeah, vestigial behaviors like that, sure. Jai Jagannath?
My question is in regards to when we take to spiritual life, there seems to be this sense of need for, the word that's coming to my mind is self-abnegation, self being understood as the different modes that I identify with, and forgetting that and surrendering to the order of the spiritual master. And we get that sense in the Bhagavad Gita. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, as one message is there, Arjuna's deciding to fight is because Krishna desires him to fight because he has a particular mission that he wants to do, and not so much, you know, my Kshatriya Dharma as such. And I'm also thinking of this verse that comes in, that Prabhupada quotes in the NOI.
Sure, I agree with what you
just said. Okay. Maybe I'm not 100% clear. If I had the purport, I could. It's at the end of chapter 18.
I want to part two, but I want to dialogue a little bit on part one. Part one is Krishna saying specifically, Arjuna, you don't have the qualification to not perform your duty. You are on a level where you must perform your duty. There may be persons who may be unable to not perform their duty, karma sannyas. That's not you. You have your necessity is performance of duty. He's evaluating like that, you know. So when Arjuna decides to fight, or when we decide to surrender, it doesn't mean self-abnegation. The premise of your whole thing is it rather connect with your nature and always think of Krishna. Now, at some point of time, by thinking of Krishna while connecting with your nature, that nature will be, let's say, sublimated or superseded by a higher spiritual nature. But when there's surrender, it doesn't mean self-abnegation. The premise is, maybe I've misunderstood what you were saying. Yes. There's surrender right from the get-go. Oh, but abandon other dharmas doesn't mean, you know, you trash them. You subordinate them to a higher principle. And when that higher principle is the primary principle behind which one functions, the other dharmas aren't, you know, they're there. They're just following that higher dharma. Okay. That higher principle is surrender to Krishna, and that higher principle, surrender to Krishna, does not mean self-abnegation. It's just connecting those lower principles to the higher principle. Minus the higher principle, it's zero. It's I was listening to Prabhupada speak on prayers by Prahlad Maharaj, and he repeated several times. I didn't get the Bengali, but he was saying, there's a saying in Bengali that says, what's the use of all your austerities, etc., 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 if remembrance of Krishna is not there? And if remembrance of Krishna is there, what's the necessity of all these austerities? But it doesn't mean, okay, now I'm remembering Krishna so I can be all over the place with my senses. I'm still, you know, it flows naturally. The control of the senses is there because of, and that, you know, what may look like austerity is a life in devotion. And to somebody, oh, that's austere. And to us, it's joyful. What time you get up in the morning? Anyway, it's joyful. Looked like austerity. So, in a higher, so in the beginning, it may be okay. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. I rise early, get up, perform Mangalarti, and then it just becomes a joyful part of one's life. So, I'm not sure where you go, where the train that you were constructing was going, but you know, the premise of where the train was going was something that didn't sound right to me. Yeah. Yeah, it's all over the place. A short answer is it's gradual. Just like as we do with new people, we don't like pile rules and regulations on them. So I was in a class in Houston the other morning, and there was a new person, and you know he had a songbook so he could follow Jai Radha Madhava, and when he was finished with the song, he put the book down, and there's one of the older devotees that tapped him on the shoulder and said, and then he realized what he was doing, and he just took the book from him. He was trying to listen to class, and this other guy's tapping him on the shoulder about the book that's on the floor. So, we don't impose, we just, and so now your question, how much is that inhibiting? It's the spark of attraction for Krishna that needs to be given attention to, and it depends on what that, material tendency is, whether, to the degree to which it's going to impede them, but that attraction for Krishna is so strong, all of those things can be overcome by attraction for Krishna if it's handled properly. And eventually one will come to the point of saying, I don't want to do that anymore, or I want to do this now. It's not an impediment. When our consciousness gradually, stage by stage, step by step, evolves, the impediment is if we want to hold on to something, that's where the problem lies. Otherwise, there's not an impediment in the preliminary stages. We've seen it, isn't it? it's still not self-abnegation. That is to say, you know, I may have an idea. Let's take this particular example. I want to give up my body. You can't give up your body, you know, because it belongs to me. But then there's go down a little bit, and, you know, it's an irreligious act to give up your body. So there's certain things that maybe our nature, they're just contrary to religion. Just like I may be a Kshatriya, but I can't just go around bashing people because I'm a Kshatriya. I'm bound by religious codes. That's part of being Kshatriya. Oh. It's not, you know, self-abnegation. It's religious. It's guided by codes of religion, scriptural teaching. There's a strobe light going on out there. Is that what is that, Jitendra? Oh, garbage truck, okay. Yes. Give that girl a microphone.
I'm just curious to know where this strong fighting mentality or get back mentality is coming from. And why there is so much push to act on that? Like in Gita Nagari, you're talking about the...
Act on, what was that referring to?
Like the fighting spirit or get
fighting
back...
Fighting spirit.
Or get back mentality.
Get
or,
back mentality.
Or in Gita Nagari, you're talking about vindictive mentality. So, where
is
it coming
from
and why there is so much push to act on it?
Your question is, where is it coming from?
I have some understanding.
That's your
something.
Question? Is that
yes,
your question?
Yes, yes.
Contact with the mode of passion. Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajoguna. Come from the mode of passion. I want to enjoy and you're interfering. Get out of my way. I'll move you out of my way if you don't get out of the way. Because that's what's important. I want to enjoy. And you're an obstacle to my enjoyment. And part of enjoyment is my prestige. I enjoy my prestige. And you're infringing upon, the Prabhupada uses the very word, infringing upon prestige. You can't do that. It's mode of passion. But how can one be a Kshatriya without the mode of passion? So but to be a true Kshatriya, one has to be guided by religious principle. And that is when it says that one should be very firm, up to use your full strength, you do it. You know, wisely and appropriately. And if it's not religious principle, you don't. Another place, I think it's in the fourth canto, the descendants of Prithu Maharaj. The grandson of Prithu Maharaj, the son of Prithu Maharaj, when he saw Indra stealing the horse for the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, he saw, although Indra had this art of making himself invisible, he saw that the horse was disappearing. He knew what was going on, and he didn't do anything. He was, in his heart, he was forgiving. Wasn't holding on, get back. It was forgiving. And his reason was a religious principle. He's an elevated person. What he's doing is wrong. It's wrong against my father. And what my father wants to do is something religious. And he's impeding it. He's making it not possible. Still, I won't do anything. Indra was very pleased by that principle that he was observing, so much so that he gave him the same mystic art, you can make yourself invisible, and then gave him a name commensurate with that art. I forget, Antardhana or something. So there's an example of a Kshatriya spirit that's controlled by a religious principle. So if one is guided by Dharma, one's protected from that problem. Or to speak of, you know, the ultimate Dharma, one's protected by that principle. It takes one away from the modes of nature. One is not then moved to do something because the mode of passion is pushing me to do it. However, for Krishna's service, if something is needed, I can take some strong action.
Follow-up question. So you're saying it's when the enjoying spirit is checked, that's when...
Yes.
So my understanding was that there is this hurt that is pushing me to do this get-back mentality. So how is that hurt connected to... How is my enjoying spirit checked at that moment? Like, I'm not able to see
that. The last part went real fast. How is it that...
I'm not able to...
No, don't say the whole thing again. Just the last part.
So how do I see the connection between my, you know...
How do you see the connection? You got it. The connection is bodily identification. And minus bodily identification, there isn't hurt. There isn't even a feeling of hurt. Mode of ignorance is a nice companion with the mode of passion. I want to enjoy, and I'm this body. Put the two together and you get hurt. Or feelings of hurt. And you let go of the bodily conception, who can hurt you? And if you let go of the mode of passion, and my enjoyment is, tendency to enjoy is there within the soul, my tendency to enjoy is reposed in trying to serve Krishna. So if it's for Krishna's purpose, like Arjuna, I can engage the mode of passion other than being engaged by the mode of passion. To fight, he had to be angry. So Krishna was inducing him. Because otherwise he was detaching himself from that get-back spirit by saying, oh, I'll just stop being a Brahmin. I'm stopping a Kshatriya. And Krishna is saying, no, you can't stop being a Kshatriya. You're, by nature, you're a Kshatriya. You must engage according to your nature. Now how to do it transcendentally, how to do it religiously, then how to do it transcendentally. Then his fighting wasn't get back. His fighting was Krishna wants. No, in our case, you know, if something untoward happens, if something, some uncalled for behavior or speech that's just, you know, coming out of nowhere, it's not justified by something that I've done or something, then one may feel hurt. But there's something else going on besides the justification or lack of justification of things. One will not be able to see that higher reality as long as one's caught up in the, you know, in the bodily conception. And I want to be the enjoyer. I want to be honored, respected. And I don't want my honor or respect to be interfered with. Okay, I think we'll end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.